So we have been talking the last 3 weeks in different ways about this idea of shalom, right? And shalom is our right relationship with God, with others. And today we get to a third thing that we don't often talk about in church, but our right relationship with the created world. We're all connected in some way to God and others in the created world. The question is, how are we connected? Are we connected in ways that bring life and beauty and peace? Because as God's children, that's what we want to do. We want to bring beauty and life and peace. Now, let's think for a moment about breathing. You all have not been thinking about breathing, and you have been breathing since you walked in here, since before you walked in here, since the very moment you were born, you all have been breathing, right? Now, there are 7.4 billion people in the world, and all of them are breathing every day, every hour, every minute, just like you have been. 7.4 billion people. Now, what is it that we need to breathe in? Oxygen, right? Now, do you ever wonder or worry, how is it that 7.4 billion people can be breathing in oxygen and we still have enough on this earth? Well, something is making oxygen. In fact, several somethings are making oxygen, right? What is it that's making oxygen? Trees, plants, and I want to know, so do you know the official word, Phil? Who are my scientists here? 50% or more of our oxygen is made by something else. Oh, look at there. Our resident scientist, who's really an engineer, but apparently he knows about what. Wait, but you were in first service too. Ah, he's cheating. There's something called phytoplankton that is in all of the oceans that is also making oxygen. And so that's why we don't use up all the oxygen. There's some things that are making it every day. And even better than that, not only are they making it, they're taking the carbon dioxide that we breathe out, they're taking it in and exchanging it and making it oxygen for us. It's pretty miraculous, isn't it? So have you ever had this thought? What's the big deal about trees? Why do we need to save the trees? Well, I don't know why all of the different people have their reasons for saving trees, but there is a biblical reason for saving trees, and it's because they are a vital part of this important system of shalom that we all live in. We need them to breathe, right? Without it, without trees, plants, and phytoplankton, the whole system falls apart. Now, to get you thinking about just how interconnected our created world is to people, I have a short video to show you. It's not the happiest video that I've ever shown you. In fact, it's kind of sad and dark, but it specifically describes how people and the created world are connected and what happens when they get disconnected. So take a watch.
Some of the greatest human tragedies in memory have the same root cause, one you may never have considered before. Previous to the 1930s, millions of acres of trees in America's forests and prairie lands were cut down to make way for farms. This was one of the main causes of the dust storms of the 1930s, which devastated 100 million acres and left more than 500,000 Americans homeless or dead. Previous to the winter of 2004, protective mangrove trees along the coast of the Indian Ocean were cut down to make way for shrimp farms. But in December, a series of tsunamis resulted in over 350,000 deaths because there were no trees left to diminish the impact. Previous to the summer of 2005, protective cypress trees along the coasts of Louisiana were cut down to make room for housing. But in August, Hurricane Katrina devastated the population of New Orleans because the levees built to replace the trees didn't hold. 2 decades ago, Ethiopian farmers began cutting down forests to provide firewood, farmland, and construction for an increasing population. Deforestation resulted in infertile soil, devastating erosion, and the disappearance of animal life. 1 million people died. 8 million became environmental refugees, moving south where the land was still good because there were still trees. And then those trees were cut down too. Today, only 3% of Ethiopian forests remain intact, and because of this, people are beginning to starve. But in the midst of all this destruction, there's still hope. In America, President Roosevelt planted 3 billion trees and ended the Dust Bowl. Farmland that was once desert became fertile again. Southeast Asian nations are replanting mangroves across thousands of acres devastated by the tsunami, hoping to restore the natural ecosystem. Some Ethiopians are partnering with American nonprofits for an aggressive plan of reforestation. Already, millions of seedlings have been planted, but to avert disaster, millions more are necessary. When trees are planted, they protect, provide, nurture, and sustain all of life. Everything lives where trees live.
Shalom. Everything is connected. We don't live solitary lives. What we do affects others. It affects the created world, and the created world then in turn affects us. I think that sometimes we forget that when God created in Genesis 1 and 2, he created all things, not just humans. In fact, he took 5 full days to create everything else and 1 day to create humans. And at the end of every single one of these days, he said, do you remember from reading Genesis 1? And it was good. There is something important about considering that God thinks the earth, the sky, the sun, the moon, the oceans, the lakes, the plants, the trees, the animals, the birds are good. And he placed us, men and women, right in the middle of all of it, and right away started talking about shalom, right relationships. You can get your pew Bibles out and read with me in Genesis. So grab your Bible, Genesis 1. It's easy to find right at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible, and starting in verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. This is right after all of the previous 5 days of creation when he has created everything else out of nothing, the darkness. And on day 6, he says this, then God said, let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on the earth. God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground. Then God said, I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food. And that's what happened. And then verse 31, God saw everything he had made. It was supremely good. In other versions, it says it was very good. Now, I want to focus on three things from this passage today. Number one, after each day of creation, God said it was good. And on this last day of creation, God said it was very good, supremely good. Now, I want you to look at that in the Bible for a minute. In the past, I feel like when I heard sermons about this, what the pastor would say is that it was only humans that God said very good after. That God made humans and said it was very good. But do you notice that's not what it says in that passage? What does it say in verse 31? God saw everything he had made. It was supremely good. The emphasis here is not on the people. The emphasis is on the whole of creation. Everything, all of it. After God had created humans and explained how people were made in God's image and how people are responsible for the creatures and the trees and the plants, how the creatures will use the plants for food. After God had created all the things and told how they were all connected to one another, that's when God called it very good. Sounds a lot like shalom, doesn't it? Every created thing in right relationship, living together. All right, number two. There are lots of verbs in this passage that tell us what our relationship with other created things are. Words like fill, master, take charge. Over the years, many people have taken those words and told us that it means people can do whatever they want with the earth. It's ours, right? God gave it to us. But I think it's important to notice here that these words come right after God says that he made people in his own image. We resemble God, so we are supposed to do the kinds of things that God does. And God takes charge and takes care of his earth and his people, right? Take charge. Now, how many of you are firstborn children? And you were left, when your parents left for a couple of hours, they would say, "You are in charge," right? Now, when they said that, though you wanted that to mean that you could do whatever you wanted, that's not what it meant, right? If you were in charge, that meant you were supposed to be responsible for the well-being of your younger brothers and sisters, right? It didn't mean you got to do whatever you wanted to them. It meant you were supposed to make sure they were fed and safe and not running out into the street and cared for. That's what it means when God says, take charge. We are created in his image and we're supposed to take charge of the earth just like God takes charge of his earth. I like when we sometimes sing a Santi Jesu, one of our verses is, he watches over. Right? That's one of the things that God does and what we are supposed to do as well. In Psalm 23, it says, God is our good shepherd and he takes care of everything we need. And that is our role, to take care of the earth he's given us. There's two other words in Genesis 2. In verse 15, it says, we are to farm and take care, or till and keep. That is our job. There's an organization that video came from called Eden Reforestation, and they started with a guy from the Free Methodist Church. His name is Steve Fitch. He grew up in Africa and saw all of the things that were happening and said, we need to do better. And he actually went to Ethiopia, the place that they talked about at the end there, and over the last 10 years, he has been hiring people from the villages there, teaching them how to plant trees and care for them. And if you go to their website, there is another video that shows what that area looked like 10 years ago and what it looks like now. And you wouldn't know that they were the same place. A desert has been made again into a green, lush forest. And it isn't just that. He has taught the people about what it means to take care of that space. And so now those people who have planted the trees are defending it and taking care of it and teaching others and saying, this is how we take care of it for the good of all of us. There's lots of different ways that we can care for the earth, and you can look those up and talk to people. But the main thing today that I want to say is that is our job. We're supposed to take care of the earth that God has given us. Number three, God saw everything he had made, and he said it was good, very good. At the end of each day of creation, he stopped and he took a look around and he said, this is good. You know, we run through our busy lives from building to building, from work to home, and sometimes we don't even see the world that we live in. God took the time right from the beginning to see and celebrate the created world. When was the last time you took time to really look at God's created world and let it point you to the Creator? I mentioned the devotion on your paper in your bulletin, and your challenge this week is to do just that, to read Psalm 24:1 that I talked about to the kids, and then to go out, take some time this week and go out in God's created world and breathe it in, to look around and to wonder and to say with God, it's good. It's very good. You all have some natural place pretty close around you. There's parks, all different places in the city. So find a place where there's trees and drink it in. Breathe in the oxygen and say it's good. As part of Shalom, we can let creation teach us about God even as we work to take care of the created world. It's that right relationships that we're all in relationship to one another. I don't think we're going to get it perfect anytime soon, but I think we can all keep working at it. We can all keep trying, moving towards valuing people and the earth, learning from one another, and taking care of one another. Seeking God and asking God, what would you have me to do to be a part of your shalom in this world?